Good afternoon. It's 6 minutes past 12 midday. Open line through till 1 o'clock. Call 66 13 68. Email studio at manxradio.com or text 166 177 for your point of view, your message. As of 4 o'clock yesterday, the 29th of September, we've had 12,917 tests for coronavirus on the Isle of Man. 12,897 have been concluded, 20 people waiting results of a test, and 57 people waiting for a test at the moment. Lots happened yesterday. Those three key workers got suspended prison sentences, if you have any thoughts on that. And, of course, we've got news of a petition that's being launched at the moment, an online petition being launched for COVID-19 testing at the sea terminal. More on that in a moment. But here's the big question now, as we are at the 30th of September, final day of September 2020. Tomorrow, November the 1st. And the question on everyone's lips, will the TT go ahead next year? Will we have TT 2021? Just when do we think the decision's going to be taken? It's the million-pound, multi-million-pound question for businesses, particularly those in hospitality, tourism and accommodation. The government hasn't got that answer yet. No doubt they're making plans. So where does the industry go from here? It's a question Ewan Gawn put to the Enterprise Minister, Lawrence Skelly.
We really don't know, but TT clearly is a massive economic benefit for our tourism sector and wider hospitality industry as well, because what we did discover there, if I may, is that the TT actually helps support not just the hotels and the self-catering and the hospitality, but it helps sports clubs, it helps churches, because they all benefit in different ways as a result of TT.
When's the earliest that the government can let people know? Because I suppose what you do as a business owner is you build on certainty. Bookings for next year, they have an impact right now. So I suppose what hotel owners want to know is they want to know what's going to happen as soon as they possibly can. So when do you think it's the earliest we'll have a clearer picture?
It's a very, very difficult one, because there's a number of different components. Clearly, our decision around the restricted borders is having a very big impact. But this industry also has difficulty with regards to capacity with regards to the transportation, i.e. for example the airline industry, which has fallen off a cliff as well at the same time. So then there's the confidence issue, I think, of people wanting to travel, as well as, you know, people having the finances to be able to travel. So we're very conscious of all these particular elements that do cause issue. But what we do know is, and it goes back to the basis of when our visit agency did publish a strategy back in February, just before COVID, that demonstrated, you know, what we were well positioned. We got a great platform, we got a great offer, and quite frankly, we still believe that. And you know, when we do come out of this, we think tourism will come back bigger and stronger.
Lawrence Skelly, MHK Enterprise Minister, talking about 2021 and TT next year. Well, it was cancelled the middle of March this year, and it's easier to cancel something than it is to say something's definitely going ahead. As Mr. Skelly mentioned, it impacts so many sectors, not just hotels and restaurants, businesses that are direct, but of course everybody benefits from TT financially. It trickles down to all sorts of people, not least homestay. The money people get from homestay is used for all sorts of things. Home improvements, holidays, so sports clubs, the churches, the voluntary organisations, the people that put teas on during TT, it impacts on everybody. But lots of people will be making plans for next year. So no doubt the enterprise people have got TT 2021 firmly in their sights. Of course, at the back of all this, Marshalls. TT, no Marshalls, no TT, and most of the Marshalls come from across. You have the point about competitors having to get licences, motorsport licenses, to compete on the mountain course. My word, it's a massive question. If you have just a gut reaction to TT next year, it does seem inconceivable that we wouldn't have a TT for 2 years running. But that is the size of the problem that our politicians have on their plate. The online petition that's been launched calling for COVID-19 testing at the sea terminal and airport to allow loved ones to come back to the Isle of Man. It's been started not just by anybody, it's by head teacher Annette Baker at Ramsey Grammar School. The head teacher at Ramsey Grammar School, who points to Guernsey, who says she has a testing facility with the potential to do 2,000 tests a day.
The testing facility they've invested in costs something in the region of £3.7 million for 6 months, plus a cost of £600,000 for the facility. So they've invested in this to allow this to happen because they realise that this virus is going to be around for a long time, and that locking down and drawing up the drawbridge and keeping people away is not sustainable going into the future if the island's economy, the mental health of the people on the island, etc., is going to come out of this unscathed. So it would require an investment. I actually think that, and I'd welcome some information from the government on this. I wonder whether they really have a choice in this now, because we all know what's happening with students at the moment. We've got something in the region of 400 students who have just gone off island to go to universities, mostly in the northwest of England, not exclusively, but certainly in areas that are under lockdown at the moment. They're going to want to come home. Now, they're at increased risk. I'm not saying they shouldn't come home. Of course, they must come home. Are the government doing anything about this to protect us from this risk? Because I don't think it's just a situation that I ideally would like family to be able to come over and visit, or for people to be able to go away with slightly different restrictions on quarantine, etc. It's a real ticking time bomb coming up now at Christmas, because you're going to have a lot of students coming back who will have been exposed in areas where the virus is prevalent. Are our current facilities, if we don't invest in enhanced facilities, enough to deal with that risk? I'm not hearing anything from the government to reassure us on that. All I'm hearing is frighteners about this, and of course praise going to the situation that we're in at the moment. But I do feel, from what I'm reading, that we need to have more highly developed facilities to cope with the increased risks that we're going to face at Christmas anyway, if the students are going to come home, as they should.
Annette Baker from Ramsey Grammar School with her point of view. And what do you think about that? You can call, email or text. Roger joins us first of all. Hello, Roger.
Oh, good afternoon again, Andy. Just an opinion, like you said at the beginning. I'd like to do a comparison with the people that go to court for breaching the isolation. Let me give you three cases to compare. You get a lady last week who came off the ferry and stopped for fuel. She was quite open about it. I believe she told the attendant there what she'd done, and he actually opened the pumps early for her. But the bottom line, later that day she was arrested and she ended up with 4 weeks in prison at Jerby. Just yesterday, you had the three key workers from Swansea. They go to court in front of the magistrates yesterday, and they receive a fine and a suspended sentence. And then, of course, we've got our Jersey quartet, as we speak, who up to now is nothing. So we've got one person, all similar offences, one person sent to prison, three people get a suspended sentence, and four people, as we speak, nothing. There's no level playing field, and what signal does that send out to our community and the people coming into the island? There's just nothing level about this at all. That's just my opinion.
We were talking in the newsroom today about the Jersey Four, and we'll get a steer on that from the police.
Great.
Later on today. But what we can understand, the last answer we got was that the police would have to self-isolate if they were to go to Jersey, so the police can't go to Jersey to interview the people.
Okay. In contrast to that argument, there's video link, and also they had the same issue with the two, or maybe was it three, but I think it two, Guernsey workers at that time, and their border and our border was closed. But they got around that problem by whatever means. So this, that just doesn't hold, that that they can't go and interview, because what happened if it had been a serious offence? Let's say extreme, a murder or something. Would they just, well, we can't go because we'd have to self-isolate?
Do you think then, let's put the three people from Swansea to one side, because they've gone through the process, that's fine.
Sure.
Do you think there should be a letter or a note given to everybody who comes as a key worker to the Isle of Man, just to say, look, if you do transgress, it's a custodial sentence?
Well, my understanding is, Andy, that everybody that comes in on the ferry, plane or whatever, they are actually notified of what they can and can't do. I think ignorance is no ignorance of the law is not an outlet. There's no excuse there. You can't use that, oh, I didn't know, because my understanding is they do know. And that they actually sign a legal document, as the Chief Minister put it. It was a legal requirement to isolate.
So do you think then it's the case that these people, like many other people, have no awareness that the Isle of Man is not in the UK?
Well, I don't see the relevance of that, to be honest.
Well, simply because in the UK, there are many different, it's not a level playing field. Some places are locked down, some aren't.
Yes.
You can do something in other places you're told not to do it. So there's geographic differences in the UK. And do you think that those people came to the Isle Man and thought, well, it's flexible?
No, I don't, because like I said at the beginning, I understand they are given a legal document to read and sign as an acceptance. Like I said, just, well, it may be like England, it may be this. I don't go with that at all. It's, they know, every single person coming off the plane or the boat knows that they have to self-isolate. And the key workers have their conditions. I believe they go from their accommodation to their work to their accommodation. And to say I didn't know, I can't really buy that at all.
Well, and certainly now, if the word hasn't got out to key workers, presumably it will now. Presumably all the people that are employing them have reinforced it.
Yeah. My concern as a vulnerable member of the community is it's the time that's taken and the risk involved to me personally and people in my position. You know, we're the guinea pigs while this acceptance is settling in. Then, you know, if it's going to take time, and I do agree with you, it is going to take and does take time. I hear so many people with a different opinion, for example, of the latest isolation where residents coming back can do 7 days and then have a test. It's a 50-50 split. There's a 50% of people say, oh, yeah, I'll do the 7 days and then I can carry on as normal. And they genuinely accept that, because I think it's, to a degree, although we are in a bubble, totally different to the UK, but even our knowledge, general knowledge, if you listen to people talk, is an uncertainty there. I was only last night talking to a couple of people that were of the opinion 7 days, 8 days, on the eighth day, then you can go about your normal life. So I think it is a major problem, but specifically the people coming off the transport. Sorry, I've got Sky at the door. There is an uncertainty of everything, of what people can do and can't do.
Okay, all right, we'll let you get to Sky, Roger.
Thanks
for calling us today. The awareness of what the situation is on the Isle of Man, and lots of feedback so far. Thank you, Jane, who says, regarding Mrs. Baker's petition, teachers as a body put every barrier they could in the way of children returning to school because of the risk to the teachers. And now Mrs. Baker wants to increase the risk of bringing COVID to the Isle of Man back. It doesn't matter whether people think COVID is dangerous or not. When we start to get community transmission, our lives will change. We'll be back to the old socially distancing, self-isolation. Guernsey feeds into a different area of the UK than us. Things are a complete mess in the UK, says Jane. She's talking about Christmas. Well, let's not risk Christmas here by relaxing the restrictions. Just leave the borders as they are. P.S. Should she really be using a position as a head teacher to promote a personal campaign? Jane, I think Mrs. Baker is a well-respected figure in the community, and she has an opinion, I think, just like anybody else who's got a... She is partly a public figure. So I think we can allow Annette Baker that. Thanks for your comment. William said, I can't believe the sentence imposed on the three key workers. It's only 2 or 3 weeks since the last person stopped at a petrol station and got 4 weeks at Jerby. Why are these key workers treated in a different manner? They're placing the whole island in danger by their blatant disregard. Furthermore, I find it hard to believe that they weren't fully aware of the rules upon arrival. Don't you have to sign a legal document at the pier? Wasn't one of them a health and safety operative? Some people want the rules on self-isolation tightening on the Isle of Man, especially when there are others, including children, sharing the same accommodation. Now, Helen has a condition which puts her in the COVID-19 vulnerable category. Helen has written to the Education and Health Ministers, and this is her story with Beth Espy.
They said that basically the results of the tests showed that only 6% of people caught it from within the household, but that's still 6%, and it only takes one person to be asymptomatic and pass it on to their child and let them come into school to start spreading it around the community.
There are those, though, who are saying now, we can't live like this forever. We need to get to a point where we can open up a little bit more. There is a call from some people for a move to 3A, so the idea of sponsoring people to come over. What do you make of that?
I think we need to wait. I think we need to wait until the situation in England and everywhere else is a lot better. Don't do it yet.
So you got that response from the ministers. It didn't seem to really tally with what you're wanting. What do you do now?
Well, I have suggested to the ministers that they should change the policy so that everybody else has to self-isolate in the house, or if the person can't afford to stay somewhere else, that they use the hotels in Douglas, that the government are already paying for the hotel rooms, and open them up so people can choose, they don't have to, they can choose to go and stay in one of those hotels, and they have to pay for their food only.
One concern you do have, though, is that while government seems to have a set policy on this, it seems that organisations now are really making their own rules.
Yes, thankfully, people are taking it into their own hands because they obviously feel that this rule is absolutely ridiculous. And, for example, the Scouts in the Isle of Man have decided that people cannot attend sessions if they've got anyone self-isolating in their house. The same for the Tommy Clucas and Peel Football Club, the dance groups, different workplaces like KPMG, big workplaces like that. You cannot go in within the 14 days. And all of the nurseries and childminders were brought to a meeting last week with Dr. Henrietta Hewitt and Chrissy Callahan and a few other people. And they were told it is not safe for young children to be self-isolating with somebody who's been away and to then go into their setting. So it should be the same for schools, it should be the same for work, it should be the same for everybody.
That's Helen. Any thoughts on that? Text, email, give us a call, 66 13 68, the telephone number. Colin dropped a note in just to say, Andy, I think it's because most people are watching television, which all the television talks about is UK rules. And some people just can't make the distinction that the Isle of Man is not the UK. If you watch the UK, the stories about the UK, they're all very confusing. Their rules seems to change every day. On the Isle of Man, we've been very consistent about this, and people should just concentrate on what the Isle of Man rules are and stop looking at what the UK is doing. And Tony said, Andy, the three workers stopped to buy alcohol. Selfish. They should have got time. What's the difference in the woman who stopped for petrol and got 6 weeks, says Tony? Well, yes, we could say petrol was a necessity. Alcohol? I think the Welsh trio should have been jailed. No justice, really, on the Isle of Man. I think it's pathetic. Residents here got jail. So, text. Malcolm's with us now. Good afternoon, Malcolm.
Yes, good afternoon, Andy. Just about Mrs. Baker's ideas about people being tested when they arrive on the island. If people arrive on the island, they're tested. But of course, as we've heard from David Ashford and several other clinicians, that you can be tested one day and then a few days later you can actually show signs of the virus. So I gather from what the lady is saying that it's mainly university students and so forth that she's concerned about coming home for Christmas and that sort of thing. So if they arrive, they're tested, and it's negative, they're in the community, and all of a sudden the virus shows, then it's spread and it's in the community, and bang, here we go again.
Our politicians, Malcolm, have always talked about taking clinical advice, and they've been very firm about mitigating the risks and being risk-averse, and that has brought us to where we are. Do you think there should be any relaxation of the rules as they stand?
No, I don't. I think it's absolutely correct. I think they've done a wonderful job. Howard Quayle, David Ashford, everybody else, all the clinicians and all the medical people, I think they've done a terrific job. We're just free to go and free to go about, and other people, I have friends in the UK, and they can't quite believe what they're seeing on the Isle of Man.
And so do you think we should just, the Isle of Man should just sit it out and wait until the virus dies down in the UK?
Yes, absolutely. That's what I think.
As long as it takes?
Yes, as long as it takes. Well, why not? I mean, why should the 85,000 people in the Isle of Man are free to go about, we are free to go have a coffee, go out for a meal, visit friends, have friends round. It's just a wonderful place to be, as is Guernsey. And I don't quite know what the lady was talking about the Guernsey ideas and plans, but it is a different... It's a different aspect altogether in the Channel Islands to the Isle of Man, and I think we should just stay as we are. We've done fantastically well. We must be the envy of the rest of the world, and I think stay as we are, and that's it, as long as it takes. There will be a vaccine. Some people say it will be 3 months, some people would say it will be 6 months, but I think within that sort of period it will be, and of course the virus will die, as the flu virus did in 1919, which was actually far worse than this. And of course we didn't have the medical knowledge that we have now and the drugs that we have now. We are learning to treat it in lots of ways. But until there's a proper vaccine, I think stay as we are. That's it. Just one quick thing about the workers that came from Jersey yesterday. Surely they came to be workers for Ellen Vanning Fuels, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, surely we've got enough. I know we've got some brilliant mechanical engineers here, and drivers, if it was for driving or whatever. But surely we have enough people here rather than having to import them from Wales.
Who knows? All right, Malcolm, thanks for calling us.
Okay.
Good to talk to you. And Stephen joins us now. Good afternoon, Stephen.
Good afternoon, Andy, and good afternoon, listeners. I was very pleased to hear the lady who introduced your programme with from Ramsey. Is she a teacher at Ramsey Grammar?
She's head teacher, Annette Baker.
Well, I think this is a milestone in people's normal reaction to the issues. I do feel that when you get people who have got the ability to consider the issues and look at trying to find solutions is great news, because it means that it's not just the clamour to say close the borders and pull the drawbridge up and don't let anybody in and jail everybody, because I would be frightened that we would think probably we might need a much larger jail at some point. So I do feel that the Council of Ministers have got to consider the next reaction and how we're going to deal with this going forward, because from what I have read, there is several issues around the vaccine if and when it is proven to be effective and doesn't give anybody adverse reaction. And also there does seem to be a question mark over the distribution network around the UK, because it has to be refrigerated. So that's another big issue. So I do feel that we've got to look at other technological improvements that we can use. And I believe there is some machines being produced that can produce rapid results at airports. I think for some places are being used. I'm not sure what the machine is called, or what scientists or what university or research facility have produced it. But I do believe it is definitely there. And I think that as we go forward into the future, we've got to consider these next issues of how do we test people with a rapid test at the seaport and the airport in order to try and get some more normality, because it's not just a tourist trade, and whilst that is vital for all the things that we take for granted on the island, but it is a lot of people who are going to go back and forward, certainly as the head teacher said at Christmas time. So I do feel that we've got to consider this next stage of how do we deal with it. I don't think it's sufficient going into the next year or 2 years of to say we're keeping the drawbridge up, because that will mean decimation of various industries that are essential for our well-being.
Okay. Stephen, Annette Baker, as a teacher, how many marks out of 10 would you give her for that proposal?
10 out of 10.
All right. Thanks for being with us today. Good to talk to you. Thank you, Stephen. We're on the Man in Line through till 1 o'clock today. Any thoughts? Anything on your mind?
Nothing we can say can capture the comfort of a stressless recliner. So visit the Stressless Studio at Millage Apps of Ramsey and experience it yourself. Responding to every movement, Stressless chairs offer perfect lumbar and neck support, and selected models are on special offer.
Creating a home where you'll love to be. Millage Apps of Ramsey.
Corkill. Call Corkill Removals and Storage today. Loads big and small day after day. We'll help you move, we'll help you pack. With a local or global, we've got the knack. So give us a cheer.
Yay!
Your movers are here.
They do it right.
As well as moving locally, nationally or internationally, we have storage solutions from as little as £12 per week. Call
675-495. We'll get your load delivered on time. You can be sure we'll get the job done. Click corkillremovals.com.
Flight's cancelled. You don't need to jet off to kick back. Enjoy a staycation this autumn at the Manin Hotel. With bed and breakfast available and even a couple's weekend retreat, why not book a dinner package including 3-course meal at the Liberty's restaurant, overnight stay in Atrium or Broadway room, and full Manx breakfast the next morning? And NHS staff will now receive a 20% discount on all food and drink. See maninhotel.im to book.
Save over £460 by moving your mobile unlimited broadband and landline to Shore. Bundle all your services into one great package right now. Simply sign up to a 24-month contract with Shore. Enjoy all three services and save. Get more for less. So pop in store today and set up your very own great value big bundle. For details, visit shore.com.
Get more from Shore.
We can all do our bit to help the environment. Here at Man Waste Recycling, we tailor our services to individual businesses by providing recycling solutions for cardboard, paper, UPVC, plastics, cans, cartons and more. We'll advise you on how your business can recycle so you can help make our island even more environmentally friendly.
Man Waste Recycling, call today.
Oh, Geoffrey, what a difference having these large sliding doors onto the garden.
Yes, the women used to just huddle in the kitchen while the men supervised the barbie. Now we can all mingle.
Spectrum windows have really made our home much more sociable.
And Luke, Ewan's getting on well with Annie.
I've been trying to get them talking for ages. Now they are, thanks to Spectrum windows.
Trouble is, he's burning the bloomin' burgers, though.
Bring the outside in with spectacular sliding and bifold doors from Spectrum windows. Visit the showroom, Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 817777.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's 24 minutes before one. Good afternoon, Gary.
How are we doing, pal?
Good, and yourself?
Yeah, not bad. Bit wet. It's not been a great day, has it?
What's on your mind, Gary?
No, it's just that lady that was on before about the Macmillan Cancer Fund and this, that and the other, that we can't have coffee mornings on the mainland. I thought that was in the UK.
This is, what's her name, Michelle O'Leary. Yeah, she was talking about they can't have coffee mornings over there, yeah.
Yeah, over there in the UK, but not on the mainland, which is the Isle of Man.
Oh, it's the old chestnut, yes, of course. Well, she probably doesn't understand.
Right, then she needs to be put straight then, because we are on the mainland.
Let's consider Michelle O'Leary of Macmillan Cancer Support put straight. Thank you, Gary.
We are on the mainland. As long as we can do it on the mainland, we're all right and we're safe.
Good for you, Gary. Oh, whereabouts are you? You're driving?
No, I'm actually sat outside my flat at the moment, wet and soaking, listening to the radio.
Good for you.
But as long as you put straight, that's all right.
We've done it, Gary. Thanks for calling us today. Just a quick note, by the way, if you're heading to the mountain on the mountain road today, Hilbury to the mountain, Bagarrow to the mountain, and Ramsey to the mountain, the matrix signs are showing standing water at the bungalow, so do use fog lights as well. So there's a yellow warning as well for rain across the Isle of Man today. Hilbury to the mountain, Bagarrow to the mountain, and Ramsey to the mountain. Standing water at bungalow. Make sure you use those fog lights. And loads of texts and emails in today. It says, why did a local girl get a prison term and key workers get suspended sentences? And also a message in that said, are the three key workers who got off light members of a secret society? Oh, it's our Masonic conspiracy theorist. Oh, my word. Is there anybody not a Mason, as far as you're concerned? I'm a massive fan of the TT. I've competed for the last 12 years, but I can't see TT 2021 going ahead. The organisers have a massive job as soon as the TT's finished to plan for next year. I can't see big sponsors putting their hands in their pockets in the slim chance that it will go ahead. And I can't be... Isn't it strange? Isn't it weird? This year just gets sillier and sillier, doesn't it? We're now looking at the fact that TT 2021, we even think about the fact it may not go ahead. But there's so much to organise for TT 2021. Well, of course, the Treasury Minister will be here on Friday, live on The Man in Line. Alfred Cannon, MHK, will be in the studio, though it's not his responsibility. Obviously, Treasury underwrites a lot of the TT, and, of course, money does come back into Treasury from all the tax that is collected, the VAT that's collected for TT. My uninformed opinion, says Roger, purely based on my own observations, is that I don't think TT will go ahead and the promenade won't be finished on April the 1st, says Roger. Sharon says, so the young woman who stopped for petrol in Laxey after getting off the boat gets prison, and the three who wanted booze get suspended sentences and a fine. They stay at the Empress Hotel. Now, the last time I checked, the Empress sells alcohol. Text, email, or call. And Rob said, can somebody tell me why we're locking visitors up at our expense? We should be banishing them with it not to return for a certain amount of time. An exclusion order. People coming from far and wide should respect our laws and rules. Visas should be received on merit. If you break the law, you lose your visa and get shipped back to where you come from. Says Rob. Ronnie dropped a note in and says, I think one of the things, Andy, is that people who drive to the Isle of Man with a UK registered plate have no idea how much they stick out. So if this serves to warn anybody who's driving on the Isle of Man with a UK registered plate, take it from us. We can see you. Apart from the marshals, we need medical cover for the TT to go ahead. Many of the medics come over from the UK. And David said, hi Andy, I'm very concerned the government has done nothing apart from maintaining the status quo to reduce the risk of the outbreak of coronavirus on the Isle of Man. In response to the worsening position in the UK, in my view, the minimum that they should have done is to require everyone in the house in which someone who is returning to the island will be living in to isolate for 14 days, as well as the returning resident. It's crazy that someone can return to the Isle of Man, be infected with the virus but be asymptomatic, pass it on to another member of the household who in turn can go out into the community and pass it on to anyone they come in contact with. I fear it's only a matter of time before this happens. I've written to the Health Minister about this and his response is that the statistics show that only about 6% of infected people pass the virus on to other members of the household. Well, 6% risk may be acceptable to the government. I don't think it is to me, says David. Your thoughts? Email 66, email at studio@manxradio.com, text 166177, or call 66 1368. The man in line is on till 1 today. It's 18 minutes to 1. Remember, this Friday, Treasury Minister Alfred Cannon will be here. We got reduced VAT till January and some new measures to boost the economy.
Don't miss this amazing new boiler offer from Manx Gas. Replace your old boiler with an ultra-efficient Valiant boiler, including 5 years free servicing and priority care, plus a 10-year manufacturer's warranty from just £39 a month with 5 years interest-free credit. For comfort and peace of mind, get a brand new boiler now from Manx Gas. Call 644444 for details or visit manxgas.com. Terms and conditions apply.
I didn't know where to turn to protect me and my children from my violent husband.
My partner verbally abused me, controlled how much money I could spend and who I could talk to.
But my advocate was compassionate and helped me with the police to stop the abuse.
My advocate helped me to get a court order to protect me and stay in my home.
If you need assistance, call Advocate Smith Torbitz Unsworth Limited on 677-888 or email reception@advocates.co.im.
B&B Furniture's anniversary party must end this weekend with massive savings in all departments. There's up to 20% off lounge and dining furniture with free footstools on selected suites. Huge savings on beds with great offers including size upgrades, free drawers and free bedding, plus 0% finance too. So don't miss out on the savings. Hurry down to Snugborough Trading Estate for B&B Furniture's anniversary party. Ends this weekend.
Audi, Bentley, Chevrolet, Hyundai, Jaguar, Kia, Lamborghini, Land Rover, Mazda, Mercedes, Mini, Mitsubishi, Nissan, Porsche, Renault, Seat, Skoda, Subaru, Suzuki, Toyota, Vauxhall, Volkswagen. What do all these big brands have in common? They all approve the Auto Solutions top of the range aircon service station for gas recovery, recycling and servicing. Aircon keeps you cool in warm weather and dehumidifies to keep your windows clear in damp weather. Have your aircon serviced at Auto Solutions.
670-145.
This is Balasala calling. Cyber criminals have declared war on our businesses. Computer Network Defense will fight them on the servers, the PCs, and the networks. We will repulse their attacks. We will never surrender.
CND, leading the war against cybercrime with a real-time monitoring service that can protect your business. Call 671-375 or visit cnd.im.
Never have so many businesses had so much security for so little.
The Ramsey Garden Centre sale is now on, featuring a huge range of garden items at vastly reduced prices. Don't delay. Grab a garden bargain now. There has never been a better time to visit Ramsey Garden Centre. Open 7 days a week on Albert Road, Ramsey.
There are many sound reasons for listening in to Charlet on Thursday evening at 6.
A really good place to be, lots of resources, really good stopping off point.
And yes, there may be gaps in our knowledge for one reason or another.
So I reckon the rest were either thrown out of the vicarage window or perhaps burnt by family later on.
But Fiona McArdle will fill you in on all the rest on Thursday evening at 6 o'clock in Shachley.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.
This is the Isle of Man talking, the man in line.
12:45, good afternoon, Brian.
Good afternoon, Andy. You're talking about standing water on the mountain road.
The bungalow.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be a lot more standing water all over the place in the island because the gutters are growing with full of grass, higher than the foot curbs, and the footpaths are absolutely terrible. So the water will be coming out into the middle of the roads, virtually.
Whereabouts?
From the bride rode in Ramsey all the way through to Andrea's village. It's an absolute disgrace.
And how long's it been like that?
Oh, for months and months and months.
Have they done anything about it?
Nothing. I was out there on Sunday putting flowers on my wife's grave, and it's still there. There's nothing, a thing being done. Some of it's 9 inches to a foot out in the road.
Where was the bit around there? Because they put a brand new road in some place by Andrews, didn't they?
Well, I don't know what part of the road they don't.
So, Bride Road to Andrews.
Yep, right through to the village.
To the village. All right, Brian. All right, we'll note that. Thanks for calling us today.
Right, thank you, Andy.
Good to talk to you. Thanks for being with us. Eddie's with us. Hello, Eddie.
Hi, Randy. You're right.
Good. What's on your mind, Eddie?
I'm just ringing up about the hotels which are up for sale on the promenade.
Three at the moment, aren't they?
Well, I think four, actually. Four quite big ones. The Trevelyan, the Welbeck, the Seaview and the Savoy are all up for sale. And it just seems to me it's such a shame that we're letting these sort of low to mid-range hotels go, because when David Cretney was Minister for Tourism and Leisure, obviously a few years ago now, he was on about the importance of keeping the hotels, the low to mid-range hotels, and the importance of that for TT visitors and for visitors coming in the summertime.
Well, Mr. Cannon said the same thing during, in the past 3-4 months, Mr. Cannon's been on the Manning Line and said, he calls it tourism infrastructure, hospitality infrastructure, and says we have to maintain it for when we come out of the other side.
That's it, and they talk about a Manx welcome, and these are the hotels which are run by old Manx families and by people who've had them for a long time, and they are the ones which are really given a Manx welcome. It's not really the Premier Inns and the travel lodges which are coming here and taking the business off them which are given that kind of welcome, but it's actually these old hotels. And also, three of the hotels, the Savoy, the Welbeck and the Seaview, they're in the Promenade's drive area, aren't they?
Well, the Welbeck is a block back, isn't it? It's by Empire Terrace.
Yeah, it's on the Promenade's Drive. You've got the Promenade's Drive there, the Castle Drive, the Empress Drive, the Mona Drive. And, and nothing's actually been done to do up that area. You know, there's a great deal there's a great many little guest houses in that area. And the Promenade itself is getting done up. But more and more of the Promenade is apartments. And in this little area, the Promenade Drive, you've got quite a number of little guest houses. And it'd be nice to see something done to do up that little area.
Well, let's hope. I mean, as you say, these hotels are up for sale now. Many hotels have been sold and just turned into apartments. I mean, if those hotels were sold and became apartments, that would surely pauperise the offering for us when we come out of all this.
Well, definitely. And it's also, if they do just get converted into apartments, then they tend to go downhill in terms of the way they look, don't they, and in terms of the way they're kept. So, and that, it actually drags the area down.
Yeah. But I mean, Eddie, we can't blame the owners of these hotels.
No, we can't blame the owners of these hotels. It's not that at all. It's obviously the government needs to do more to make sure they're looked after through this very difficult time, and also in the longer term, it would be nice, as I say, it'd be nice to see that little area, the Promenade's Drives, done up the way the Promenade's been done up. I think they could do a good job there. They could, they could make that look lovely. And because that area doesn't really get any investment at all.
All right, thanks for calling us today.
Thank you.
All right, 10 to 1, the man in line on Manx Radio, and dozens and dozens of responses. I agree with that head teacher, says Paul. We're standing still as far as progress is concerned. We could kickstart our economy with more testing on arrival. Don't be fooled, this winter's going to be horrendous economically. If we don't start some forward thinking, well, it's just about the right time then to bring in the Treasury Minister on Friday. Alfred Cannon will be here. They've got some economic packages, I think, that are going to be launched later on today. We'll find out more from the newsroom at Manx Radio, and the Treasury Minister will be live on the Man in Line on Friday. It's ridiculous that they let these foreigners off with a suspended sentence. Manx residents get locked up. It's a bit of a joke. A note in from Jan, who said, my niece is in her first year at university. She's made the decision already not to return for Christmas before she'd even left the island. It's a shame other people haven't that maturity. How can they say the virus hasn't gone away, says Michelle. Just look at the islands who shut their borders. Look at us. The virus has been out of our community for weeks. proving it's been eradicated. The UK needs to shut their borders and lock down completely this time for a few weeks, and they too can eradicate it and keep their borders closed and do a phased back to normal like we and others have done. That's Michelle in Oncombe. Another message in that says, another citizen illuminated on the vagaries of Manx law, says JB, you get less of a sentence for downloading child porn if you're caught than with a bit of personal weed. Welcome to the Isle of Man, says JB. Andy dropped me a note and says, what a slap in the face for people of the Isle of Man. A fine and a suspended sentence. Disgusting. These three idiots must be laughing at us and all the residents of the Isle of Man. We haven't been COVID-free for nothing. It's been a sacrifice. The people of the Isle of Man have earned the situation by sticking together, by sticking to the rules, and then these three come in breaking our rules. They get a slap on the hand and a deduction from their wallet, of course, as well, and a suspended prison sentence, but we see the point. Many people want the borders open and seem unconcerned about COVID, but have they considered the potential serious impact of long COVID on our health services? Have our politicians said anything about resources for dealing with the impact? Did the Swansea workers require work permits? What skills did they have that aren't available on the Isle of Man? Well, all key workers have to go through a process to prove that they're key workers, and their employers have to justify it as well. Brian said if the key workers can't abide by our rules, they should be stopped from coming to the Isle of Man completely. Key workers or not, we simply can't have this situation. There's a real risk here, it seems, to just keep happening. More notes in that says, Andy, should we, the public, know where the Welsh workers were staying? I was in Impress a few days ago. I wouldn't have been there if I'd known. Teachers want the rules relaxed so they can go on their weekend trips, says Steve. And Vivian joins us now. Good afternoon, Vivian.
Good afternoon. I have very little to say except the three of them should have been deported.
Just sent away.
Just deported, not to return to the island for 5 or 6 years.
Do you think the £500-600 fine will make any difference to them?
No, because the company will pay that.
Do you think we can make it any clearer to people who are coming here about our rules, Vivian?
I don't know how we make it clearer. I'm sorry, I believe they were given a piece of paper with all the information on it. And I would think that this is how they're not getting coping with it in the United Kingdom and further, because people just don't understand what they've got to do.
Okay. All right, Vivian, thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
It's 6 minutes to one, the man in line on Manx Radio. I'm Andy Wint. And remember, you can contact us out of hours. Email maninline@manxradio.com or call the answer phone on 682-631. I agree with your earlier contributor. Mrs. Baker may be a head teacher, but she's not a clinician and she's in no position to advise on the spread of COVID, says John. If there were an invading army in the UK, we'd put up travel restrictions for as long as it took until the army wasn't a threat anymore. The virus will likely kill and maim more than an army would if it got a foothold here. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean you have to just ignore it. And Pat says, why is there a two-tiered legal system on the island when it comes to COVID breaches? Locals get prison, key workers don't. And John, nobody's spoken about Sweden. They've carried on despite everything open. Why has nobody looked into how Sweden is managing this? Text or email or call. Just a few other things I have to quickly mention to you. And that is that level 3 is on the way, says somebody, but we don't want it. And, oh, somebody else is calling in about the international radio stations that are restricted on TuneIn. Has anybody getting Manx Radio off the island on their Alexa speaker? Is it working? That's alongside COVID, by the way. apparently it's working okay. A note in, this is from Pearl, that just says, Pearl says, good afternoon. Further to the sentencing yesterday, I don't believe that they didn't know the isolation rules. When you come off the boat, not only do you have your landing card, which you sign to say you fully understand and agree to abide by the isolation rules, you're told by security and the Cabinet Office officials what the rules are, and you're asked if you fully understand and agree to the terms. Being key workers, it's even more important. They abide by the rules. You can't possibly say you didn't know. And certainly stopping for alcohol, oh dear. They should have gone to prison. Why are they being given different preferential sentencing to Manx people? That's it for the man in line. Back tomorrow, 12 midday through till 1. Thanks to our studio producer today, Barry Redfern. And if you want to get in touch, email maninline@manxradio.com, call 682-631. Stick around, late lunch is on the way, and the hidden hero unveiled today. George Ferguson stands in for Alex Brindley in the afternoon, and I'll be back with update at 5:30 today. You.